It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
There's mayonnaise in my car, and it's 82. Is that bad? Should I go get it? I mean, is it going to melt?
You might want to go get that.
You think? Like 3.5 hours in the car. I'm in the shade. I might want to go get that.
You might want to go get that.
I stopped for mayonnaise, and because I'm 100, I stopped for mayonnaise and tomato paste on my drive-in today. I'd rather do it on my drive-in than forget after I get home, and then I go to cook, and I don't have it. That tomato paste, it's a big one. Got to have it. Got to have it on hand. Joe Ostrowski on hand from BetQL Daily, weekdays 9 to noon. Odyssey family member, BetMGM game days 8 to 11 with Jason Lockenfora. You can hear the BetQL network on the Odyssey app and our The Bet Buffalo 1520. Hi, Joe.
What's going on, Mike?
Oh, well, one thing that isn't is Survivor for me. Not going on. No longer going on. I lost on Detroit.
I lost one on Detroit. The big one, I took the Chargers.
Yeah, you said you were going to, and that was great.
Yeah, it's people are trying to talk me off of it. Chargers are going to charge her. It's different now. I think you have to evaluate that team differently. I know it's a whole sample size of two games, but all of a sudden Brandon Staley is gone and Harbaugh's there and the culture's changed and they can actually play defense, like to the level of one of the best in the league right now. Schedule matters, of course, and we're going to learn a lot about these teams as this sample size grows this week. Like, there are some teams that I'm hesitating on. You were just talking about Mayo. The Titans should be 2-0, and so that's an interesting spot that they're at. And we don't know about Jordan Love. If I had to wager on it, I would say that they sit Love one more game, ramp him up for the Vikings game next week, and see if they can get away with Willis again.
Yeah, in Tennessee, interestingly, by the way.
Yeah, revenge.
You know, back to the Chargers, uh-huh. One bet I looked at to bring up with you is the Chargers to win the AFC West at plus 400. Is that insane?
How low on the Chiefs are you?
Well, they have escaped twice. I mean, I know the history. They've escaped twice against good teams. But I think Pacheco matters. I think Hollywood Brown should matter for their overall plan. Not that he ever showed up, but he's not there. I feel like they're scrambling a little bit already. And I don't know about Kelsey, right? Like, weird things happen in this league. And if the Chargers, like, they probably are minus money right now to make the playoffs, or are they not?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Looked at this the other day.
So that's an expectation that they get to 10 wins.
Yeah,
right?
it was a coin flip going into the year, and now they start 2-0. It's changed a whole lot. How the opponents matter, right? Like I just said,
mm-hmm.
So that's tough to balance too. Okay, they're even. Yeah, slight favorite. They're even money at BetMGM. I see. So
they play a last place schedule now. That's not what it used to be, but that's three games.
Right.
So that's New England. Cincinnati finished last. No, they play that division, so that doesn't matter. Who was last in the AFC South? Tennessee,
yeah.
So they play them. And then whatever their NFC game is a last-place game. Like, the Chiefs play the Bills.
So you want to make that bet before next week with the Chiefs game? Because you're thinking that the Chargers could be live.
Yeah, at Pittsburgh this week. You know, it's 4-1, right? It's not something where I do it straight up.
They're a 4-point dog on the look ahead.
For Kansas City?
Yeah.
Next week?
Yes. Exactly. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, you could be live for that one. I don't think it's terrible. It's one of those things you wish you would have played it before. Because the Carolina one, like, that's a win in pocket. It was a toss-up going in with the Raiders game. But yet the line moves, but it didn't move too much. You know, it's up in the air. The Chiefs thing's interesting. I do like the Falcons this week getting more than a field goal in that matchup. That's the Sunday night matchup with the Chiefs. And yes, we've told this story before. It happened last year where they were going through all these struggles in the regular season. Does it mean they're going to ramp it up, that Kelsey's going to ramp it up again in the playoffs? No, it doesn't mean that. But yeah, we heard all the talk all offseason. They were mad about last regular season, and that's not going to happen again. And things go wrong in this league, and sometimes it's one thing after another, and that's why we always end up talking about cluster injuries, because it puts teams in bad spots. And if you think Pacheco matters, like, yeah, I totally hear you. Right now it looks like it's going to have to be Rice carrying that team along with Mahomes.
I know, and that's kind of a lot. I mean, Worthy is a big deal, but what was it, two targets or something? Just that's the whole league right now. I feel like I know your game well enough to know that you're here for a mid-season, a forgotten about kind of long shot division bet. That's how you won on the Orioles that way, right? I mean, just
yes.
That's what that was last year. And you and I with Bulldog here at one point kind of early last season were like, what about the Texans at 8-1 to win the AFC South? Like, are we sure Jacksonville? That's the difference here, is Jacksonville and their reputation versus Kansas City's. But, you know, last year that hit, and they were like 8-3 at one point, the Jags, and they still didn't get home. So, I don't know.
Even with more games, these lines, just with more people getting involved on a weekly basis, they move so quickly. I may have mentioned it to you last week, but a week ago, going into that Niners game, Minnesota's a long shot at 6-1, tied with the Packers, by the way. Both end up winning, and now they're in the 3-1 range. You know,
yep.
The Vikings are now the second favorite in that division. So the Bears go from the second favorite to the fourth favorite. Vikings and Packers go from the long shot to like almost identical second and third favorite, and then the Lions number comes down. It's every single result. These lines are shifting so much, except for like the AFC North, where you have two 0-2 teams, but they're still the first and second favorite in the Bengals and the Ravens.
You like that? Does that work for you or no?
I need more value. I need more value. So history in this playoff format, history tells, I think it's 2 out of 41, 5% have made the playoffs after starting 0-2, and Cincinnati has what looks like a gimme on Monday night. We know in this league there's no such thing. And then the Ravens have a tougher one going up against the Cowboys. So if either of them go 0-3, I look at it and I was like, yeah, these are teams I want to bet on. Where's my value? I'm not getting value. The value went down after the Bengals lost to the Chiefs because they showed people that they could hang with them still.
The value's on the Browns, I think. Like, the challenge is, this is always the challenge, but trying to figure out what the information we have so far is really worth. Like, my instinct is to not forget, not detach from all the preseason expectations. Like, I don't know if I'd want to bet on the Bears because that looks a lot different than I thought. But
you know what game, like, I think describes what you're talking about this week? The Saints and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So how much are we buying into Kubiak and the Saints offense versus how we felt about the Eagles going into the season, even though they're coming off, you know, it's going to be a short week, it's going to be a raucous atmosphere all of a sudden because, yeah, of course, that fan base has got to be believing after these first couple of games, and a loss that never should have happened for Philadelphia. Yes, you're going to have A.J. Brown missing this game, but I think that kind of defines what you're talking about.
Yep.
Here. So like, what are the Saints? We're not quite sure, but I think most people were very high on the Eagles. I was one of them, and they're a 3-point underdog, the Eagles are, at the Saints. We didn't think that was going to happen 2 weeks ago.
No, but give me New Orleans.
Yeah?
Because, like, that challenge, you know, again, what did we think would happen, and then what's our new information if, I don't know who, Chicago or somebody, like, they're playing close games, and Green Bay, the lines are moving so dramatically off of what really games that could easily have been flipped. That's different from New Orleans. New Orleans reminds me of the Kurt Warner Rams season, where it's like, okay, when do I want to buy this? And it turns out you should have immediately, right? Like, their results are off the charts so far, and I kind of want to lean into that.
And different sports books have different opinions. They're the favorites at some places for the South, and other places they have the same price as the Bucks.
Yeah, you know, the Bucks.
So people are trying to figure out. Yeah, the Bucks too. And you know, with their defense, they're beat up right now, but they're performing, but there's some evidence of a little bit of luck there. So is that going to continue? Well, they've got a good spot here this week, though. So they're supposed to go 3-0. They're a 6.5-point home favorite against a rookie quarterback.
That's another one because, like, I didn't like them at all this year because last year I think it was a little bit inflated. They get a playoff win. They shouldn't even have been in the playoffs, but weak division, close wins. And that's why I was on Detroit in Survivor because I just don't think the Bucs are very much. Mm-hmm. And that really should have been Detroit's game. I thought about calling you. I thought about calling you because the expected points favored Detroit. And I thought maybe I could get a pass in Survivor if I won on expected points.
Yes.
You probably have a rule against that.
They outgained them by 250 yards.
Come on.
1-for-7 in the red zone. And if you're thinking, okay, what's the path for the Bucs to beat the Lions on the road? The path is probably... okay, they have a great game on offense. They attack that Lions secondary, and that they just outscore them. It's a low-scoring game. They only put 20 points on the board, and the Lions still couldn't win after all that. Yeah, I mean, that was one of those games you look at the box score and like, that result makes no sense. But you get some of these. A lot of times you maybe sometimes get one a week in the league. And if due to the red zone, it felt like we got a couple of those this past
week. Maybe with all this being said, Detroit futures are a good bet. I mean, if people are hot for Minnesota right now, maybe that's a good bet.
They're still the favorite. They're still the favorite in the division. But, yeah, there is that reaction. Look at everybody that lost last week on the NFC side. All the teams that people liked or were talking about going to the Super Bowl. The Eagles with their bad loss. We just mentioned the Lions. Some people still high on the Cowboys. That was embarrassing after what they did in week one. So, yeah, a tiny bit of value. I see as high as 14-1 for the Super Bowl.
Detroit?
They're still top six.
Mm-hmm. With Joe Ostrowski, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is out today. You mentioned the Ravens there a minute ago. They are at Dallas. So I saw a 1-point favorite at Dallas, which like, the Ravens still they always get that respect. You can understand why they win so often. Look out. I mean, at Dallas this week, and then it's the Bills in week four on Sunday night.
So in week two... I was thinking for the Ravens that they would run less with Lamar because that first game where they lose by the toe, it was an all-out effort against the Chiefs, and you obviously want Lamar to last the whole season. Now you have to throw that out the window. Yeah. You are in a very desperate spot, very desperate spot. So I would expect Lamar to run a ton. You've got to throw the kitchen sink, you know, yeah, throw another stupid football cliche out there, but you really have to because we could say the season's over. As stupid as it is in the middle of September, they're saying it's a must-win game for Baltimore. And if they do, both of those teams are going to be 1-2. But yeah, I understand why that flipped too, because if you look at the injury situation, some of these names they're saying on the Dallas side, like CeeDee Lamb not practicing yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see what happened today. But there are a lot of names out there that are not practicing or limited. Seattle's another one that we can talk about, too, that is pretty dicey where maybe you get a cluster injury situation. Impactful players for both of those teams. So it looks like that's the reason, the biggest reason that it flipped from Dallas over to the Baltimore side. The one thing we were talking about today on the show, BetQL Daily, is Sam Panionovich. He was talking to some numbers makers out in Vegas, and they said that the biggest thing with this matchup is these teams are playing so fast. So he's big on playing the total going over.
Baltimore-Dallas.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the Seattle one? That's Miami-Seattle. By the way, names just in George Kittle. Hamstring. Tightness, so not known whether he'll play for San Francisco. Debo's out. McCaffrey, of course, is still out, too.
I was thinking about San Francisco for Survivor. Do I want to take San Francisco when they're missing everybody?
Get ready for Brandon Ayuk's first ever 30-catch game.
Right? What are his Offensive Player of the Year numbers?
I know. Jordan Mason for Offensive Player of the Year.
Right. Seattle, that number with Miami. So the look ahead when you assume it's Tua, Miami was a slight favorite on the road. Tough spot to play. And then the other day it went to Seattle favored by 5. It's slowly coming down. I saw it earlier at Seattle minus 4.5, but Kenneth Walker hasn't been practicing this week. DK Metcalf. Fant might return.
I want to see them like stomp somebody. You know, like Seattle just it does not breed confidence for covering like a real number. I think Geno's really good. JSN breakout. Charbonnet might be good enough. You know, Miami is so down. Can they just be? Because we talked about them before the season. I liked them for that division before the season. I feel like Geno Smith is great. But can they be a team that can just beat anybody like 30-10?
I like them for the division too. We were on the same page with that. And I look at this game and I'm saying, I'm going to take Miami in the points. I'm getting more than a field goal and also another injury situation. The Seahawks have four linebackers that are down right now. Four. And what did Hunter Henry do against that last
week? Oh, yeah.
So you think Mike McDaniel can't scheme something up against those injured linebackers and maybe their offensive playmakers are out too? I know it's backing Skylar Thompson and that's scary. It worked last week with Willis. Maybe we can do enough where that's a one-possession game and we at least cover the point spread. So, I do like Miami in that spot.
Is it a Jonnu Smith week? There has not been a Jonnu Smith week in a while. A few minutes more with Joe Ostrowski. What are your Bills thoughts?
This might be an unpopular opinion. So on the show we were doing, after 2 weeks, the most undervalued 0-2 teams and the most overvalued 2-0 teams. And so I think the obvious thing is people are going to say, oh, 0-2, the undervalued teams are going to be the Bengals and the Ravens. I don't look at it that way because both are somewhat significant favorites to make the playoffs. So the betting market is not saying that they're undervalued. They're expected to turn this thing around and, you know, get in that 10-win range good enough to make the playoffs. And I was going over the overvalued, and I actually put Seattle on that list at number three. Myself and Sam were both in agreement, Texans number one overall, but even though it's been a terrific start, I did put your Bills at number two just because I continue to have questions about the defense, even though it was a terrific performance last week. You guys do what you always do and smash the Dolphins.
Yep.
But as the third Super Bowl favorite, I just have a tough time getting there with the questions that I still have with the team. Obviously, Josh Allen's been Superman. But, yeah, I did for where they are in the betting market, I did put them as an overvalued team at the moment.
I think it's fair. I think this is a tough matchup for them, too. Jacksonville has been traditionally or in recent years. What are your MVP thoughts? We have this weird season so far where the top quarterbacks can't put numbers up, including Allen. 139 in that game last week. It's James Cook. It's running backs. Everybody is talking about this. Is this a year where it might be reasonable to bet on a non-quarterback?
No. Not for me. Let's see if this is still the case in a month. And I know you want to respond to this ahead of time. It's just, I don't see it happening. The only time, the outlier season was the Adrian Peterson season, where he breaks all sorts of records. And are we going to see that elsewhere? Maybe. It's funny. Is this the slow start because quarterbacks are not playing in the preseason? Or is this the NFL being the NFL and things flip in this league and it's more defense and run game like it was in the olden days? I think some people actually want to see that. Mahomes is still the favorite at around 3-1. I think Josh Allen should be the favorite with what he's done so far. And he was in that conversation, the very short list to begin. Burrow's dropped a good amount, but he's still the fifth favorite. You could find him at 20-1. Lamar's not going to win. Okay, he's 28-1. He already has two. He's going for number three. If I'm looking for value, I'm going down the board, and it is tough to find some value here. You know, I'm surprised to see that Jordan Love is 100-1. He's practicing this week.
Yeah.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What if he only misses one or two games in the end? My preseason pick hasn't looked great, but if the Eagles have a great season, it doesn't really matter what happened early on in September. If they have one of the best records, Jalen Hurts is going to be in that conversation. That was my pick before the year got started. But yeah, now I see that Jordan Love 100-1. If he only misses one or two games, I think that could be a live play there.
It feels a little bit too late on Derek Carr, but it's still a good price.
You can find a 40.
And that's good enough.
Yeah.
It's going to be somebody whose team wins at least 12 games. It's going to be a quarterback of a team that won at least 12 games. So that could be the NFC. That was the Hurts, part of the Hurts argument. Mm-hmm. That was part of the Purdy argument. And if you like Seattle or if you like New Orleans, like I kind of do, to just stay hot, there you go. Especially if there's attrition with the other guys, you know, like Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like Jacksonville plus 5.5?
I guess.
Kinda, you don't want to say it out
loud. Kind of whisper it. Yeah, no. I think I do. I think I would take the Allen. We did this before week one. They were about the same favorite in week one. And it's like, I should find it. 8 of the last 25 times the Bills have been a 6-point favorite, have they covered?
I was actually just reading this.
Okay.
This is courtesy Evan Abrams at the Action Network. Here's Allen on extra rest. Not great. 8-14-1 against the spread. As a favorite of 4 or more, last 3 years, 8-17-1 against the spread.
Jeez.
An awful number. Allen, after facing a divisional opponent, 14-21-1 against the spread, if you care. Here's one that could also, it fits this matchup because they're an 0-2 team. Last 10 years, teams that start 0-2, week 3, they're 60% against the spread.
Yeah, we give up, but we know not to. There it is.
Underdogs, 6-plus points. We're not there yet. Maybe we get to 6. 6-plus points this year. They are a perfect 8-0 against the spread.
I'd be careful with teams like the Bengals, who are 0-2, but more than a touchdown favorite.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that it's more applicable to underdogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Joe, always a great time. Thanks so much. And I look forward to getting to know your partner starting tomorrow.
All right, good deal.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Ostrowski on the West Her Hotline, his BetQL Daily co-host. Sam Pettyanovich will join us on Fridays, beginning tomorrow at 3:30. Phone lines are open now. I've been talking for days here about sort of the state of things in the NFL. Maybe you have a theory. So many different theories are flying around. What is going on? How do you like the Bills in the game Monday night? We'll talk some more football after the update. Lines open at 803-0550. Bulldog is out today. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
We got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blunt rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was in games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Too, I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with 9 guys, right? Where are the other two? Well, the other two, they're so daggone far back, I didn't even know they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing. Hey, you can warn them. They come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition can be somebody, Dano. Somebody's got to figure out what that depth is. But it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
Mel Kiper, who I love. I mean, I just... he always puts a smile on my face. I go back to when I used to talk to him a lot at ESPN, and I like Mel Kiper. I think this is crazy. Can we at least get to like the middle of this season before freaking out about rules changes? I mean, it's not even technically fall yet, and we're doing that. It's a hot take. I don't agree with it. I'm just excited to see what offenses come up with. And I really don't think it should be that hard. Like, teams are going to get their points. Officiating will help because they want to change this narrative, and as long as scoring declines, they won't have. So I think that's going to happen. That might not be passing numbers, because I'm talking about certain defensive penalties that don't show up in the stats, but, you know, first downs and big plays. I just don't think we need rules changes. What I think we've got, it's a lot of things. We've been talking about it for days, and I invite you to weigh in, 803-0550 right now here on WGR. It's just a combination of different factors, starting with less reps, fewer reps, less work, offenses in the summer, training camp, preseason, where they're not used, the starters, and they don't want to show anything anyway when they are, not being prepared quite as well as probably they should be for what they're seeing on defense, and then also not being willing to, quote, take chances. We'll play your game to start the year. We'll play your, you know, 5 yards per carry, quarterback scrambles, slant, screens, passes behind the line of scrimmage. We'll play your game for now. Let's see where it takes us. This is the Bills. This is absolutely the Bills, and it was their plan, and they're winning. So they're a great example for this because they, of course, have a quarterback who can push it. But we're doing it this way right now, and so far, so good. The season will go along, and some teams will have more success than others, and we'll have to mix it up. So I think that will help. I think right now you've got a number of quarterbacks. I think it's about a quarter of starting quarterbacks just do not seem ready for the job or good enough for the job. And most of these guys are young, and they are not going to push the ball down the field. Bo Nix is not going to break this trend, and the Broncos don't want him to. They want him to throw the ball to the running backs and run and just not turn the ball over. Coaches are loath to turn over, so there's that. The offensive line point has been made. How offensive lines are not as good, as deep, all kinds of things. I don't think we need to talk rule changes. In fact, I know that, like, that's just not it. Maybe someday, but I expect offenses to get it back. I expect quarterbacks to get it back. Here's Bill next. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I just wanted to say I think it's just a result of the shortened preseason that teams aren't ready to throw the ball down the field and expose their quarterbacks, and they want to keep the game close and in control with the lack of, you know, reps, and that's all.
The thing about the preseason is, not, I'm not saying you're wrong, I wonder if it changes. You know, like, are teams now going to use their guys in the preseason because of this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they, after the last couple of weeks, I'm sure they would. I mean, I'm a defensive-minded guy, so I actually kind of like how these games are. Some of them are blowouts, and some of them are really close, and it seems like it's kind of more evened out, but I'm sure it'll level out as the season goes on with the passing down the field and the scoring. So.
Thanks, Bill. I don't know. Like, if a team decides, it's not going to be unanimous, so if teams decide that the preseason is now more important, I think there's going to be pushback. Like, I wouldn't want, I never do, you know, and we've talked about this every year, Josh Allen to play in the preseason. I don't think it's worth it. And I think the Bills are a team that's had enough success playing their way that they won't necessarily need, that they think they need to fix anything, you know? So depends on how much success a team is having, and I guess a lot of other things. Thank you, Bill. Here is Jerry next. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. Hey. Are we just fundamentally not handling quarterbacks correctly? You know, in the 70s and the 80s, you'd get drafted after 4 years of college and then have 1 or 2 years to figure out what was going on and then fail the first year or two miserably and then become a quarterback. And, you know, that means you're 25 or 26 years old when you really become a real quarterback. Are we expecting too much of a 21, 22-year-old? And it, because we need the, because we're paying them a lot of money and we need them to work now. And would Jordan Love have failed as a starter in his first year after the draft? Would Steve Young have failed in his first year after the draft? And would he have they been out of the league and we now realize what they were just because we didn't develop them properly?
I think that that's all really fair, but it's also one like the preseason point that I don't think is going back. Because of the money, because of the rookie contract, you have to find out. I think, you know, some teams do this anyway. Patrick Mahomes got a year on the bench, and, you know, he's pretty good. But I think it's probably right most of the time to not do that. Get him on the field. All of this that's happening, it's there, but it doesn't have to determine their fate, right? Like, Caleb Williams should have started week one. And he'll get a lot of time. Could he conceivably, in a different era, end up having been had a better career? I think that could be true of anybody. That could be true of Allen. You know what happened with him? He got beat out. I can't even ever say this with a straight face. He got beat out in the preseason as a rookie. The decision was so incredibly bad that at halftime of the first game, they bailed. And there he was starting in week two, which was almost definitely not what they thought was best case. Every one of them is different. I think, sure, you can look at the old days and be like, most of those guys didn't go in for a long time, but that is just never going to happen again, I think. Thanks, Jerry. Here's Joe next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Mike. Appreciate you taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just got to say, this is some of the most interesting talk that I've heard in a long time in regards to the NFL. And it's really, really been a lot of fun to follow your journey through it. I've really just been dialed in. My whole thought is, and, you know, I'm not a big X's and O's guy, not a big data guy, just forthcoming with that. But I honestly wonder if it's just head coaches, offensive coordinators, just holding things really close to the vest to start the season until they really need to open up their playbook. I don't know if that's something that we've seen in the past in regards to teams doing this, but just a thought. Appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah. No, I think it's good. You're welcome. I think it's good. I don't think it's let's not be at our best or anything along those lines where, like, that's kind of how we talk in the preseason to an extreme because we don't care about winning the game in the preseason. I don't think it's so pronounced. But, look, coaches always want to be able to avoid turnovers. And I think there's always an instinct. For most coaches, there's an instinct to play more conservatively. I think Sean McDermott is an example of this. And I could be wrong, but I've never not thought it. You know, I think he kind of established this about himself early on. Allen took off, and the Bills changed their ways. But just through the years, McDermott still gives off clues, I think. Hiring decisions, comments, how he talks about Allen at times, that I think he's probably comfortable, and I think maybe his nature would be to play this more conservative way. That it might explain how they got to Brady. But they also, before that, had Dorsey and, of course, Brian Daboll before that, who were more, quote, aggressive. So I think it is sort of in a coach's nature. It's a long season, and they'll start to figure out, because they're going to have to, they're going to want to, I think, more than they're going to have to, figure out ways to be more explosive, get those explosive plays. You know, in McDermott's defense, he's long made the point about explosive plays. I think he comes at it from the standpoint of a defensive coach because the Bills have been exceptional at preventing those plays. And it's been super successful. Like I said earlier, I think more traditionally, I think maybe the fan button is more often stop the run, because we've heard it our whole lives. And when the Bills have a game where they can't stop the run or they don't, the phones light up, you know, like this is the end of the world. Where, you know, one or the other, as I've said for years, and I think the Bills have exemplified this, stopping the pass is more important. And you don't hear people point that out so much, but because stopping the run is just kind of like an axiom that we've heard forever. And it seems like it, like football, a lot of those kinds of things in football are things that seem to define your manhood or something. Like, you can't stop the run, you're not a real team. But the Bills have been great at not giving up the big plays in the passing game, and they have won like crazy, and that is perfectly, it perfectly correlates. And so he's somebody, I think, that really stands out looking good right now in this climate. because the way his team has played defensively has long been about this, what teams are trying to do now. And two high safeties, like, I think they're second to Kansas City. Go figure. It'd be the Chiefs again. But in terms of playing that defense most often through two games. So it's not like the Bills are trying to buck that trend at all. Thanks again, Joe. 803-0550 if you want to join me next. Mike's Fresh Picks are next, actually. And then Sal here on WGR. Welcome back. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Bulldog is out sick again today. It overcame him on Tuesday's show, and he left early. Hope to have him back tomorrow. Right now it is time for my Fresh Picks, brought to you by Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet. Follow them on Facebook for their grand opening date. These have been pretty good so far. I'm not somebody that thinks I'm good at picking games, but I do want one game in these, one futures thought, and then one fantasy idea. Let's start there this week. Last week, my, at least don't be afraid, don't forget about this option in fantasy football, was Daniel Jones at Washington. He finished QB7 for the week. I mean, they lost. But fantasy, I mean, way ahead of Allen, way ahead of Richardson, way ahead of Mahomes. You're not starting Daniel Jones over those guys. But finished ahead of Burrow, who didn't have a bad stat week. So this year, Geno Smith, Darnold, Derek Carr, you don't want to forget about guys that are just like not, they were not high picks or he picked at all in your draft. And it's not Jones for me this week, but it's the guy on the other sideline in his game, and that's Deshaun Watson. You know, a little bit of progress last week. Passing game still looks pretty rough, but he did score on the ground. Against the Giants, I wouldn't be afraid of Watson. Hopefully you don't have to do that, but super flex or just maybe for whatever reason you need to. You lost Tua or something. I think Watson, that can be salvageable. I am taking the Chargers in their game in Pittsburgh, plus a point and a half. I'll want to do that tomorrow in the pick segment. Yeah, I'm feeling that team a little bit. And I know they played Carolina and before that the Raiders, but and those two teams play each other this week. I mean, the Steelers aren't doing anything offensively. Chargers defense has been really good. And you've got Justin Herbert there. You know, I think that's the play in that game. So I like that. A point and a half, I would pick it outright and try to make a little bit more of a profit. And I mentioned with Joe Ostrowski, I think they at plus 400 to win the AFC West are kind of a fun idea. I don't know. Like, does Kansas City so far look like a team that should run away with it? Combination of some injuries there and close games with what the Chargers have looked like. I mean, I think that disparity is too much. Minus 400 on Kansas City, never touch that. Plus 400 on LA seems kind of tasty. So that for futures and not to just be all about the Chargers. I like Green Bay last week for their playoff odds because I think I thought the market was just done with them too quickly. They were plus 170 last week to make the playoffs. Right now, it's shorter. They won the game last week. Plus 375 to win the NFC North is interesting to me with Detroit's loss, Chicago's rough start, and I don't know what Minnesota ends up being. So the Packers, that coach, that guy is underrated. Maybe not anymore after last year. Maybe not anymore, Matt LaFleur, but getting Jordan Love to that level last year, winning the game in Dallas in the playoffs, almost winning in San Francisco. Then last week, he's put with Malik Willis and figures out a way to do that. I always liked the Love idea last year because I feel that Green Bay deserves that benefit of the doubt organizationally, and I got paid off on that. And so this year, they lose the game to the Eagles barely, and Love gets hurt. But nothing wrong with that, and I kind of like their outlook this year. All right, hopefully those picks are fresh enough for you. Sal Capaccio after sports. We'll talk about the latest with injuries. Dalton Kincaid, Tyler Bass, and more next. This is Mike Shope on WGR.